is where real and virtual motorsport meet. From the ITA studio, to the paddock, to the sim rig. Pull up a chair, pour a drink. This is the Into the Apex podcast.
Into the Apex podcast.
And it's the End of the Apex podcast back in our home studios. And it's just myself, Tyler, and Patty Stein up in Chicago in the studio here tonight. It's funny. We've kind of needed to rally ourselves up from that Daytona trip. And it really was, to an extent, day-to-day and a sensory overload, Patrick. I think the people that listened to the two-parter episode from that trip know that. And then there was a lot of walking and roller coaster riding, even the days after the 24. Holy hell, man. Most of our guys are in a mode right now.
We're in recovery. We're, you know, going to physical therapy three times a day. It's like we just had a major surgery and we're a professional athlete at that point.
Well, that's Bobby G, Rob. Bradley's actually sick. That's why he's not in here, is his throat hurts. My throat hurts. So that's why he's not here. And then Rob is, I'm assuming, probably asleep. He has been, so I don't know, everybody knows Rob's up in PEI, Canada. He had a massive snowstorm, like ridiculous amount of snow. In fact, there's an image circulating that I've seen from him and then all over the internet of a Canadian Tire from the inside with the sliding doors, and the snow goes way up above the sliding doors where you can't get in or out. That's his hometown where that picture was taken, if you've seen it. So it's ungodly. He's been, you know, questionable about his racing on the sim since he got home, which is what all any of us wanted to do once we got back from Daytona. What has he done, Mr. Adrenaline from Daytona, adrenaline from Universal Roller Coasters, done once the snow settled? He's been skiing every day, including today. So I have a feeling he's zapped out. He's resting and still chasing the dragon from Daytona and Universal and that whole trip. And that leaves Patty Stein and myself just trying to get our feet under us, because the studio has been desolate here, at least for the main part of the show around the trip. But I don't regret any of it. That's not to be negative about any of it. But I don't know, how you feeling, Patrick? How you feeling since we got back?
Oh man, I miss it. Was such a fun week that I want to go back to it. I want to get some taste of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I probably can't get it for like a week, but maybe like a day or two would be fucking awesome. Just that chasing the dragon feeling.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like we're drug addicts or something.
Yeah, and it occurred to me, I don't know, I don't remember if I said it out loud while we were there, but it occurred to me that all of that came to be. I don't think any of us would have been there if not for iRacing, sim racing, yeah. iRacing, which is incredible to me. I mean, that's, I feel like iRacing needs to hear that, because if not for it, all these years, I mean, we've done so many things and so many people, and you run into people that are iRacers. There was somebody there that listens to the show, and goddamn Instagram, it showed up as a request, almost hidden, and I couldn't see the message. But we were invited over to the campgrounds, the temp campgrounds where we parked our vehicle and thought we were going to be. A group of guys that listened to the show had a sim rig, a nice sim rig set up in the back of a trailer on the campgrounds, pulling hot laps and drinking. It was a beautiful setup. And we missed out on it because we didn't get the message. But, I mean, that is what iRacing can do. I mean, it enhances with the people, the company, the activities. I mean, it's incredible that iRacing leads to all that. I don't know. That's me waxing poetic about it right now.
No, yeah, no, but that totally makes sense. I mean, imagine if what happened in 2020 didn't happen.
Yeah.
Imagine if that didn't happen and here we are, like, where would we be now?
Yeah.
Like, we wouldn't have gone to how many Rolex 24s now? Was that three?
Yeah, three in a row.
All the different experiences we've had on each one. You know, me from last year not being able to see because I swelled up like a balloon, to like this year going to Universal and Rob turning into a fucking crackhead.
Yeah,
in there
riding the roller coasters. Before we move along,
the first year with that Airbnb.
Yeah, that's true. And camping out. Gabe Medina, GT3 janitor on Instagram. That's who was had an actual sim rig at Daytona. So shout out to him, and we'll see you next year. We'll actually know. We'll actually get the message. But yeah, that's my kind of poetics of it. Is iRacing has done a lot for people, and I mean, just today I was in VRS Endurance Road to Atlanta, and you run into Jack Hawksworth, Riley Dickinson, who won the Michelin Pilot race at Daytona. Like, it's just a big but small community of people, and you see it when you're there at an actual track, and you're lucky if you get a group to go with and be part of a group, but that's not hard to do. You know, Greg, who was on the show, who's on the network, Greg Meismer, he was there with the sim team camping out, and then we just kind of come over our way, and it's something special. I'm going to just puke all over myself with sentimentality here.
I don't know, other people would have a better idea about this, but would it kind of be like more of a, like a, you've been at like a, been out to like a festival or something with a bunch of friends and family? That's what it kind of feels like.
Yeah.
Like what we experienced with it. Well, that's yeah. To me.
Endurance racing specifically, because I've been to IndyCar races and you get the vibes. You certainly get the vibes. Don't let me take that away, especially camping. But endurance racing, it's just so prolonged that you really can soak it in. Like IndyCar, I'll say when I watch IndyCar races as a spectator, like I don't want to miss any action. I'm not, when the race is going on, I'm seated somewhere. I'm not really moving around. So it's like you find where you want to see it, and that's where you are. Endurance racing, you know, 6, 10, 24, 12, whatever.
Yeah.
You feel like you can just take it in. You don't need to see everything going on. So you get more time to do things and just feel like you were there.
Yeah.
Especially the 24. I mean, my God. I know everybody's probably seen our Instagram of my videos of Rob and Eric fishing at Lake Lloyd. And oh my God, sunset during the Daytona 24, catching fish at the lake with the Ferris wheel in the background, fireworks coming up at 10 o'clock. Oh my God, you got to get there, folks. You got to get there.
It's just an experience. Like I've never been to Sebring. I don't think any of us have.
No,
not yet. Sebring looks like it's as close as you're going to get to that experience. It's because it's the same crowd of people basically. But, yeah, I mean, look at when you watch, you know, 24 Hours of Le Mans, or you watch Spa 24, or you watch Nürburgring 24. There's an atmosphere. There's an experience that the people are going through that are camping there or just hanging around there during the race. And, you know, they're going to all these different things. You see these wacky shit.
Yeah.
Wacky shit like Nürburgring. You see the guys blowing off fireworks in the fucking woods. Like through one of the S sections, it's crazy shit.
Yeah, I'd love to be on the ground for the international races to see how it compares. I feel like it would. I mean, you definitely get these camp traditions and everything else. And I'm going to push you. I think you even said you were on a fence, but I'm going to push you to camp at Watkins Glen if you can make it there, because that's where that's the next stop where all of us can meet up. And really kind of paint the picture as a group of how much we've come to love motorsport camping.
I will try my hardest. I honestly will.
I like it. We still have an 8-man tent that's ready. And there's only four of us.
We got to break her in.
You hear that, fellas? Come out. We got 8-man tent. We can line up like Vienna sausages in a little can. Oh, yeah. But enough.
Well, I was going to say is like you've gone to Watkins Glen how many times now? Twice?
Three. I've gone 3 years, but we've camped 2 years.
How's that experience? Because I know it's not as big of an event.
It is. Obviously, it's very chill compared to obviously what you saw at the Rolex. It's much more. How do I say this? Bradley would probably agree. You feel at one with nature up there. It's just, it's all I can say is you're on a hill. You feel like you can breathe. You just feel like you can catch your breath up there around people you like, around a sport that you really care for and enjoy. It really is a getaway inside of a racetrack with a race that you're excited for. But I mean, once the racing stops, you really kind of just settle in, and it's wonderful. Oh. That's all I'll say. I know we talked about it before, but I want to get you and Rob's take if you guys do make it this year. See what you guys think about it.
I definitely would. You know, every time that you and Bradley go to all these different races, whether it's just the VIR up by you guys or, you know, other local or tracks, it's like, man, I got such fucking FOMO right now. But it's like, I know I can't. I just couldn't do it like as much as you guys. But it's like, fuck, I want to go to VIR, man.
You start to, as a fan, you get on the sim and you kind of, it keeps it going. Even though some of the, you know, get an off season or an off week. The sim really keeps motorsport fans engaged in ways that I feel like, and I maybe have said this before, but you know, like you play Madden or FIFA or MLB The Show, it's not quite as immersive because you're using a controller. But on the sim, I mean, you could drive every day, every week in a league, multiple leagues, team events, and you really continue to be engaged in it. And through the sim, that makes you start to want to see it in real life. And the two kind of feed into each other. They really do. Because all we ever say when we're at a track is, oh, man, I can't wait to get back to the rig and compete. I want to do this. I want to do my version of this, you know?
Yeah.
So that's absolutely, it feeds itself. It keeps it going. It's a hype cycle.
And it was just so cool when we were walking around at Daytona. And we saw multiple campgrounds in the infield where they had some form of a rig set up.
yeah there were a couple. I was
fucking astonished.
Yeah there were a couple.
There was a few of them.
80-20 like proper triple monitor, like or widescreen monitor at that, like
and proper like equipment too. I think they one person had Fanatec equipment. I'm like, you're bringing this to Daytona outside?
When you see that, it immediately tells you, these are my people. This is where I belong.
Like, if that's heaven, yeah. I'll do whatever it takes to end up there again. that's my Mecca.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But now it's time to close the door on Daytona. It's like January, and then you have the aftermath, but everybody's pushed past that. In the iRacing world, they're looking towards Bathurst. Bathurst has always been a hard no for Patrick Stein. Folks, hard no. There is no FOMO for Bathurst, from what I understand with you.
Nope, not at all. I just, it's, I not my style of driving in endurance racing is very different. I don't know if you've ever picked up on that. I'm much more conservative than say you are, or Bruce, or Rob, or even Bradley at times. Mm-hmm. I like to, you know, just make sure I don't fuck it up while I'm in there. I just don't want to fuck it up.
Yeah.
But at Bathurst, there's no room. You're going to fuck it up. Everyone does. And it gets into your head, and you're like, especially when you start going back down the hill again. I forget what that section is called of the track.
Yeah,
it's like the S section there.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a proper name, but I'm not as learned on it.
But like that section there, anxiety attack just thinking about it.
I mean, it's an interesting course. It's beautiful. It's got its history. It's unique. I mean, you get time to, you know, you have that insane on the mountain, but then down below you get time. You know, you have long straights and 90-degree corners, like very rectangular, and you can kind of catch your breath on those because, I mean, if you can't do a 90-degree rectangle corner like Indianapolis, I mean, that's not too difficult. I mean, there's nuances to it, certainly, but you can handle, most people can handle that. But yeah, like you said, when you're cutting a right to left down, sharp downhill and basically coming off the ground to an extent, it is ridiculous. And the walls are in such a way that you're in a, you're a ball inside of a pinball machine, just getting shot, barely in control. I think that's the ticket to that part of the track is you got to figure out how to feel like you're in control each time you go through, or like you said, you will mess up. It's going to end in tears.
Well, yeah, I
and you're going to have wheel damage.
Wheel damage. I will go as far as say any endurance race more than a 2 or 3 hour race at Bathurst in any car. I think that's probably going to be tougher than almost any 24 hour race, except for maybe Nürburgring.
Yeah. Nürburgring.
I'll say that.
Yeah. Nürburgring is a memory test that I fail still 3-4 years after. I mean, first year, holy shit, I never learned the second half. It was like it exposed my brain's weaknesses, Nürburgring did.
Oh, yeah.
The first year, I got to know the first part kind of well. The second part was just, oh, shit, what's that? Left. Oh, we're going left. We're going right. We're going up. We're going down. And it was just that every time and sometimes in the dark.
Or your first stint in the car in the race, it's fucking dark as shit out. And you're going
in Bathurst.
I'm not sure where I'm going.
Yeah. Yeah. If you start the Bathurst 12 here, most people know this. If you've never done it and this is your first one, it starts pre sunrise as traditionally. So there are no ambient lighting. If you kind of need cars behind you to help light the way. But if you happen to get in that thing with nobody behind you and just your headlights, oh, it's a dark and lonely place.
You need to have a Lamborghini behind you with the extra
light bar there. Yeah. It can get quite dark if it's just you and your headlights and dark in that cockpit.
Stay with the pack.
Yeah. So that's coming up. And then, we're certainly going to talk about this in a larger capacity with the full cast because... if Daytona is closed and Bathurst is the little quick post-Daytona effort for sim racing teams out there, Tempest is due. It is certainly due in March with the next build. And iRacing just gave some more teases out just this week. A video, it's on their Instagram, Twitter, and whatnot. I'm watching it right now. Patrick, I don't know, have you seen this? Did you catch this?
Yeah, the one with they show... the weather conditions and stuff in it was like the menu.
Yeah, it's a bit of a walkthrough, and I'm sitting here watching it now. I know everybody's seen it already and probably started talking about it. I mean, it just kind of shows you the detail of this system. In this, you can select it to be more of a changing weather system, more real world weather, which is what I think would be cool. But also, you can kind of generate weather patterns and look at it. You can see how it's going to flow, and if you don't like it, you can kind of refresh it and get a different one to kind of fit what you want. So there is a lot of customization with the weather is what we're seeing and what they're telling us. And then there's also that kind of randomness and just ever-changing. I mean, I think that's what I would prefer, but I think it would be interesting to, you know, maybe leagues or something else to be able to set and give you what to expect and let everybody kind of prep. Because there are people that like to prep and practice with, like, you know, you see those people where they're like, what exactly, like if you host a special event or a league, there are always a few people that are pedantic and they're asking the questions of what is the precise temperature going to be? What is the humidity percentage going to be?
Oh, God.
They don't want to practice and waste a single iota of effort. I found that irritating when I was trying to organize events, but I guess I understand. I guess I understand it. But
you'll find out when you get there.
Yeah. Yes. Just get on, load up the car, get on the track, and just fucking drive. That's what I always wanted to say. But
and deal with it.
Just drive the car, figure it out, adapt, and proceed. But
and it could change at a moment's fucking notice. Just fucking deal. Yeah. Be a man.
What my biggest takeaway when we were talking about this teaser, this video, this walkthrough, I think what I said to you guys in our group chat was, weather systems for the Daytona 24 next year confirmed is what I said, because what they have in plain sight there, it's a test drive is what you see on the video playthrough, but they have the car loaded is the BMW M Hybrid V8. The track loaded is Daytona road course. I mean, come on. They're not doing that. Bradley said that might just be a test or whatever, because I know the reason Bradley and some people were doubting it is because iRacing kind of said it's not going to come out with every car right away. They put a lot of care and time into what is going to have rain tires and how it's going to feel and that type of thing. So it doesn't appear we're going to be able to just across the board use this in every series, every car. And they listed some cars, and I think the IMSA cars weren't quite clearly among them at the time.
Well, I think maybe they're doing that to be kind of coy and tongue in cheek by saying like, okay, you can't like, I could be completely off the mark and yeah. I'm just out of my mind.
This is unreleased, and it's just, we're going off of Shadowplay and Deception here at times. So,
but they could be by saying that like, okay, you can't, you know how like you can do fuck around sessions, like a hosted session, you can do a fuck around and
yeah,
Lime Rock in almost complete darkness and fog, like heavy fog, and how fucking intense it is.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to be like, yeah, you can't do that for like ridiculous shit like NASCAR or IndyCar oval stuff. Maybe they're trying to do it for something like that, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
you think that that could be it?
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. I think this will be so much different than that. It's such a dramatically different system. That it's gonna, I mean, I guess we won't really fully appreciate it till we see it released and ready to go. But
released on everything that it'll be eligible
for. Yeah. And I know some of the things they mentioned, like the Toyota Gazoo, things like that, some open wheel. Those are some of the things they've showed us images of. But
yeah,
to me, I mean, obviously, if they don't have the IMSA cars ready even in March, we still have a long way till the next Daytona 24. They can always add, you know, they can always add it. I think either way, we're going to have this type of system for the next Daytona 24 big event where
yeah.
people are going to need to play meteorologist, and, you know, teams are going to have maybe more roles to assign. It's going to be more immersive in that way, which we've said, that is very exciting to us because, you know, you have your data systems and different telemetries. Well, now somebody can be the weather person. You can rotate right. those roles, and it just gives you more to do during a long race, where sometimes you could just kind of glaze over, and you know, you don't want to sit and watch cars, you know, watch your teammate drive all the time. You kind of need to stay engaged. So I think that's going to be more fun.
I started thinking about it just as you said it. I'm like, you know, maybe it doesn't have to revolve solely on just rain, though. You think about it, like take the realism of most Daytona 24s. During the day it's nice, but there's been some nights like in past years where it got bitterly cold.
Yes.
It never really does that in the sim, if you notice.
It never drops quite so dramatically, eh?
Like with the air temperature, say, you know, down to, you know, 39, 42 degrees or something. You know, like it was the first year we went.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, you know. And then I think it's adding more to it, to the whole thing. And that's what they need to do. And they should keep going past this.
Yeah. That's one good thing about it is we're constantly investing in content and they're constantly improving it and working. Last bit on that is basically that, you know, to me, they never do anything in these teasers or releases that are by accident. They always are being cryptic and, that type of thing, which is kind of the fun part about iRacing. I mean, so I don't think it's an accident they would pick that to put in there. They like Easter eggs. They like or things in plain sight. They like to communicate messages without explicitly spelling it out. So that was kind of cool to me because, I mean, if they have it ready for those cars, you could have maybe a Sebring 12 with weather or certainly a Watkins Glen 6 with weather. Maybe a Nürburgring 24. I mean, look at the events coming up. Start to play that through your head, and then, you know, a Nürburgring 24 with that kind of weather. If you thought you were ready, you're not ready anymore for that event. No question about it.
Oh yeah, I don't think it's going to happen for the big events until next year. Honestly, yeah. I think they'll have it for like the smaller stuff and, you know, for any hosted or whatever. But not for the big events, I don't think. I think it would just be for the, you know, the sprint races and stuff.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how it goes when it comes out. But it's hashtag soon, as everybody said. It's coming. It's close. I mean, it's time to kind of start to get your mind right for it, because I feel like we've been joking about it so long.
Shit,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like it's been that type of thing. Well, Pat, let's take a little intermission here for the show. And on the other side, I want to talk a bit about one more bit about iRacing that we heard in Daytona that everybody saw, that was talked about. Yeah, I know we're going to go back to Daytona, but no, it's more about content. It's more about content that's coming. And then a little bit of karting chat, eh? We've been really talking about karting, and listeners of the show know Patrick's journey, and we got a lot of good feedback when we talked with you about your Atlanta adventure, and we may have something in store for us in the near future along the same lines. So the Pat and T-Dog show, the JM show.
the JM show.
Cheers to everybody. We got such feedback on that part two of that episode. Who would have? It makes me and Bradley so happy that our high school folly that still existed on the internet got a second wind and brought enjoyment to so many people. We were racing in an IndyCar League race Thursday night, and it was, we sponsored it, so it was the End of the Apex Indy 200 at Mid Ohio, and in the broadcast chat when we played it back to watch parts of it, somebody put in the chat, "Into the Apex sucks. The James Madison show is better." So thank you, all of you. Thank you. That makes us so happy.
Here's a random idea. Why don't you post episodes of the JM show as bonus content?
Fuck no. No, it's out there. You could find it. But I think what we might do is just sit and Mystery Science Theater 3000, a few of them, and put that up as bonus content. I think that's along our speed. But yeah, anyhow, yeah, let's take a little breather here. Let's come back and talk about what cars seem to be absolutely coming to the service, and a little karting chat with T-Dog and Patty Stein.
Don't go anywhere. More Into the Apex is coming up.
Tired of getting caught up in the mayhem of turn one? So are we. Although we can't protect you from disasters in iRacing, we can protect you and your family from mayhem on the road or at home. The Allstate Javicki Agency proudly protects families in Ohio and Pennsylvania. Give John a call today at 412-561-6239. Mention Mad Sim Racing or Into the Apex when calling to receive a gift card with a qualified quote. No purchase necessary. Into the Apex is going back on the road in 2023, and it's all brought to you by our friends at Pro Kart Concepts. Pro Kart Concepts provides top-tier carts, parts, and consumables to the tri-state area and support based out of the Pittsburgh International Raceway. If there's anyone that can get you set in the world of karting, it's Eric and Dan with PKC. Visit ProKartConcepts.com for more information. This episode is brought to you by the racing fans at Great Hire HR. Whether you're hiring one employee or 100, Great Hire will let you keep doing what is important, running your business. For more information, visit GreatHireHR.com. You've just achieved your greatest accomplishment as a sim racer. Now what? Don't let it become just another stat you never see. Alien Awards is a service run by and for sim racers, creating clearly printed plaques on solid surfaces, something you can display proudly to mark a major victory and show off your team and sponsors. Whether you're an individual driver looking to create a memory or a league owner looking to take your season to the next level, Alien Awards can help. These are quality awards, I know because I've won one. There are no setup or design fees, and shipping in the U.S. is free. Take your sim racing career to new heights. Visit alienawards.net. That's alienawards.net. This episode of Into the Apex is brought to you by our partners at Track Racer. Since 2008, Track Racer has been designing and pioneering best value, high-end gaming platforms and accessories. Track Racer products are made from the highest quality materials that offer unsurpassed durability. Track Racer is supported by recognizable names such as Haley Deegan, Ross Chastain, Alex Pillow, and Alpine F1 Team. Check them out through the link on our website, IntoTheApex.com, and support the show.
This is Into the Apex Motorsport Podcast Network.
On Into the Apex, Tyler and Patrick Stein up in Chicago, and yeah, a bit of Daytona wrap up there at the top of the show, and one last thing that connected to iRacing that made its rounds, but I want to highlight it just really quick because we actually got to see the car for the first time, and I want to kind of tee Patrick up for this because he's Captain General Motors. But that's the Ford Mustang that debuted. It didn't do, you know, wonderfully, but, you know, new cars, it's going to happen. But we got the new Corvette GT3. We got that new Ford Mustang GT3 in the GTD classes. I guess, number one, Patrick, what was your feedback on each one? Where would you rank them? If you had to give... So let's do this. If you had to hold up a card 1 to 10, give me a card rating for that new Corvette GT3, 1 to 10.
I'll give it about a 7.
The new, yeah. Ford Mustang GT3, 1 to 10. Hold up your card.
I'll give it about an 8.
Oh, Mr. General Motors.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I love the Corvette. The Corvette's great. I still, you know, I prefer it. But there's parts of the Mustang that I'm like, you can't fucking resist it. Yeah. I mean, when we came into the track and you just hear that thing going around the track, it's almost as loud as a Cadillac.
It's a big fella.
GTP.
It's a big fella, too. Yeah. It's a big car.
Oh, yeah. It's chubby. I'm surprised that it handles so well, but it does. I mean...
So what made its rounds on Reddit, a team member put up the team schedule, a screenshot of the team schedule, and they had an hour or so of time sectioned off for iRacing to be with the car for what it said were quote-unquote photos, photography. So why would iRacing spend an hour with the Ford Mustang GT3?
New content.
Because, yeah, there's only one reason. They're not just hanging out with it, you know, talking about it. They're getting what they need to give it to us. And
give the people what they want.
I'm sure somewhere, at some time, they've said how long it takes to make content. I've not seen that, so somebody out there may know this. But yeah. I'm going to eyeball it and say Mustang GT3 by iRacing Petit Le Mans, as far as IMSA special events go, that you'll have the option. I like that Corvette, though. I will say this: when we were positioned up into turn, we were in the grandstands of Daytona, right at the low level, ground level, close as you could get, and where they sail into turn one off of the trioval. Yeah. That Corvette braking and downshifting. Oh my goodness, does it sound good? Oh, it was.
Oh, yeah.
It was so good. So the Corvette gets a lot of points for me. The GT3 didn't disappoint in the way that the GTE did, you know, never did as well. It's got a great downshift sound. Really great in person. So, yeah, and no LMP3s as well. But yes, Patrick, continue.
Yeah, but how quickly for the Corvette?
Well, there's a prior relationship in that we got the GTE, but
yeah,
there's certainly been no leaks or suggestions that that's what's coming. This is a pretty on the nose leak that tells us, you know, it's going to be here. So get excited! Like, I don't think you're at all getting your hopes up. I mean, there's no reason they're going to have scheduled time with iRacing, but to develop it as content that's going to come at some point. So that's a give. I think that's 100% given. Don't get excited about it next build, clearly, but I think sometime in 2024 we can count on it. Corvette, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. They only can do so much. I know the Tempest project has probably taken quite a bit of time. Maybe once that's done and they monitor it and do whatever adjustments. And we'll do a deeper dive into that, maybe, the Tempest and the Rain as we get closer. One final deep dive and then some reactions once it comes out. But maybe we'll see more. Maybe we'll see more stuff happen. I don't know. But I would love it. But where that's
no, yeah.
At some point, where are you going to put all these cars? That is the reality of that.
Well, if you notice, like on the IMSA series, the official series, you can't race the GT3 McLaren.
Yeah,
that's in there because not that many people do, and it's also it's not really the up to date McLaren.
Yeah.
So
it's not popular. It's certainly not popular.
I think you're going to start seeing that more and more, especially like with Audi.
Oh, well, this
Audi.
I'm going to piss some people off. I don't think we needed that. I don't think we needed that Audi.
I said that from the beginning.
I hear people are liking it, and I see it out there a lot right now. And I mean, that's the way it goes. You see, but I don't think we needed it. I don't think we needed it.
I don't have it either. But it's the shiny new toy, and I've done it plenty of times. Get the shiny new toy, but I don't think it really needed to get produced because how many teams are racing car?
I was just going to say that's very North American and American of me and us to say that because all of our hosts on the show, primary hosts, are in North America, and we don't see it. There's one, at least last year, a couple of years, there was one Audi in a class in the SRO, one of the GT America series. There was one. Now, I haven't laid eyes on a proper Audi GT3 since you and I were at the 2021 SRO Indy 8 Hours.
Oh, 8 Hours, yeah.
Audi won. They won the race overall.
Yeah.
And they had several Audis in that race. And I will say that they were beautiful cars there. They have that Lamborghini sound. They're short. They look good. They sound good. But I haven't laid eyes on one in North America since. So yeah, the stock has lowered in my eyes here. And
you look at from a North American viewpoint. Look at Valentino Rossi, the team that he's on. When he started, they were racing Audi. They were a customer Audi team.
Yeah.
Now they're BMW.
Yeah.
So, and then I remember last year at Spa watching that, and there was far less Audis there than there usually is. There used to be overwhelmingly Audi. I think, and it's all due to, them gearing up for F1.
Yeah. I think you don't have that car in IMSA events, special events. Keep it in the VRS GT Sprint and Endurance. Keep it at
European series.
Yeah, keep it at Spa or whatever. Keep it in Nürburgring, Bathurst if you want. But the IMSA events, if you add the Ford, you cut that car if it's in there. That's my opinion on that. If we're talking about cars briefly, can we talk about, maybe for the first time, can we talk about how boring the BMW GT3 is? Can we talk about that?
Oh God, fucking buzzkill!
In real life and on the sim, same thing.
Ugh.
Real life and on the sim, same thing.
Ugh.
When it's flying into a corner and downshifting, almost quiet as a church mouse. When it's full speed coming out of the end of the tri-oval into turn one, it just sounds like an old man whistling through his teeth.
It sounds like it was neutered already or something.
It's so boring.
It's got no fucking balls.
Yeah, I've warmed up to the look of it, but sound wise, senses wise, like that, it's absolutely boring. When you're choosing the chocolate out of the box in an official iRacing race or whatever.
Oh, you skip that fucker.
Yeah, that tells the truth. If it's a cool car and you like it, you're gonna really be like, I might want that one. The BMW, never. It never happens. Not for me, at least.
When it freshly came out, was the shiny new toy. Yep. Well, think about it. Now it's down at the barrel. It's, you know, it started up here. Now it's, you know, down here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I just wanted to say that really quickly because it always, I always think about it when I drove the car a bit. I know we're going to race it at Bathurst. And it occurred to me, I'm like, we're doing this because Bathurst scares the shit out of us. And we've always raced the BMW. Therefore, we're going to get in that piece of comfortable clothing. But it's boring. It's absolutely boring.
It's like missionary.
Yeah, it's pretty vanilla. Yeah, it's yeah. Amish. It's the Amish of the cars. Yeah.
Or Mennonite.
Mennonite. Pennsylvania Dutch. Pennsylvanians listening to us. But moving on from that into real racing, and since Patrick's here, best time to talk about it. And that's the karting stuff. IntoTheApexKarting.com. There's a website. I always forget that there's a website because Patrick's the brave one who's ventured into this. We've done our testing with Pro Kart Concepts, and we've been on the road twice in a year. But Patrick has actually competed both at Autobahn in Chicago and at Atlanta Motorsports Park, which was the most impressive of the ventures. Getting way out of your comfort zone, way out of the comfort zone.
Yeah, that's part of it. You need to get out of your comfort zone. That's the only way you're gonna, get into it and get better.
And
you need to get comfortable doing it first, and then kind of go, all right, well, fuck it, let's just go to the endurance.
And now you're hooked on it. And you sent me, Bradley, and Rob, which Rob is ruled out because he's saving up for the Indy 500. He's coming to the Indy 500, folks.
Understandably so.
But you found something that is pretty interesting, and it's pretty close to us. What did you send us?
Yeah. It was, there's a 6-hour endurance race up in Hampton, Virginia. It's at, what's the oval track up
Langley.
There in Hampton? Yeah. And what they do is they convert it into a roval. Basically. So it's like, you're racing at Daytona in a way, or you're racing at Charlotte Roval.
Yeah.
It's something different. And I looked at it and I'm like, I'm chasing that dragon in my own way. Rob's doing it one way. Tyler's doing it in his other way. I'm doing it this way. This is how I'm chasing it.
Well, you had the right mindset in that. You were kind of a solo with other solo drivers in Atlanta, and it's the same series. It's Pro Cup Kart.
Endurance karting.
Yeah, it's the same series. Yeah. So you kind of know the ropes. It's the same deal.
Yeah.
But you did it. Very you did simple. It with people you didn't know, and this for you, I understand, is an opportunity to do it with people you know. Me and Bradley live only 2 hours south of Hampton, which is basically Virginia Beach, Virginia. You have family in Virginia Beach, so it almost lines up perfectly.
Yeah, I make a trip of it.
And it's in early March, pretty much a month from where we sit tonight would be this event.
Right, and the part of it that I saw was like, like there later in the season they have other races, but I was like, if we're going to do a race in the middle of like June or July, we're all going to be fucking miserable. You want your first experience to be on a day where you're not going to be, sweating out a couple pounds.
Yeah, because this is a 6-hour endurance race. Langley, you can look it up. You can look up the track layout on the endurance karting website. It looks really cool. I mean, I was really getting excited. I found some YouTube videos of the track with karts, some GoPros, and the corners, the oval corners are slightly banked. So in a kart, I mean, it's obviously it's not Daytona, but I'm sure if we got out there, we would be like, I've been waiting for this moment for 4 years of the iRacing Daytona 24. I'm racing an endurance race physically on an oval.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I know for me, when I did the one in Atlanta, the weather wasn't that bad, so I didn't like get fucking like burnt out and like exhausted. So I think like for you and Bradley, it would be like kind of perfect for, this is not terrible. I mean, yeah, you're going to be tired after it, but it's not. If my fat ass can do it, anybody can do it.
So for a 6-hour race, we can have up to six people. Yeah. How many people do you think would be a good number for this? Because we have started to try to recruit for this race, and time is short. And we've got at least three or four people that might could do it, but we really would like six because really the economics of it.
The economics of it, yeah. I mean, it can be done with four, but then again, we're going to the economics of it.
Yeah. It's $1,600 to have a cart. To do a team. So it's that divided by the people. So basically, yeah. You know, if you have up to six people, it makes it more affordable for everybody.
Yeah, and then what you can do is you show up the day before and you can pay for a couple practice sessions as well.
Yeah.
Just to get some extra prep, you know, which is really good. Lost my fucking train of thought.
What is it, the gummies, Patrick? Is it the gummies?
No comment. What was I going to say? It's just, you don't want to throw your feet to the fire in probably the worst conditions.
Yeah.
Honestly. Cause then you're never going to want to do it again.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. If it's,
you want to enjoy it.
Yeah. And I will say I've been to Norfolk for Baltimore Orioles scrimmage at their Triple A ballpark up there in late March at the end of spring training and froze my ass off. So there's no telling. It could be really, really cold for the race at that time.
It could
that
be
time
hot.
Year. Yeah, it could be. It was 72 degrees here in Eastern North Carolina today. And then a few days ago, it was 30 degrees.
Yeah.
So you don't know from now till that day of that race, you could get either of those
as
part of the country.
And if you're doing like a six person team, especially for your first ever race like this, it's doable. It's because you have to make a certain number of stops, a pit stops, if you will, in the race. I think it's like 16 or something. So basically, with that,
a minimum,
okay. Which you only need to refuel, I think, twice during a race.
Oh wow!
So that the refueling takes like a minute, but when you do the pit stops, what you can do is just do a driver change, and you divide up. Okay, 6 hours. So that's how many minutes? 60 times 6 is 120. I think. Sorry.
Patrick.
Public school education.
Patrick's doing math on the air. Don't ask me. I'm terrible with numbers.
So 360 minutes. Okay. Divide that by six.
Patrick's got his number two pencil out.
Lick the tip. You got to erase.
It tastes like fucking Chicago Malort liquor.
Yeah. So basically what you do is you don't have a dumbass like me trying to do math. Yeah. And then
clearly the end of the Apex Karting team needs an engineer. Please, somebody. Travel.
Not a Ferrari one, please.
Travel to Virginia Beach. Second weekend March.
Lunch.
Yeah, we'll buy you all the silver dollar pancakes you can eat.
No, but so you just divide it. You divide up the amount of minutes by the amount of drivers you have. So that way, and you can kind of get an idea of how many stints each person has to do with the required amount of stops that you got to do, which I think is 16. I could be wrong.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. So basically what you can do is every time you come in for a pit stop, swap. And everyone's going to do close to about the same length and time of a stint.
And how long? I remember you said for Atlanta, was it 20 minutes each or 30, 40?
It wasn't. No. I think it was about somewhere between 15 to 20, 25, depending on
minutes each person.
Yeah, each person, which is, I mean, that track was fucking hard.
Yeah, I do know Atlanta is a difficult one. So after 15, 20, that sounds so short. But physically, how are you feeling after that in these carts that this series provides people?
In those carts, after 15, 20 minutes at Atlanta, it was okay.
My shoulder, like how your shoulders feel and things like that.
You feel them, but you can keep going. Honestly, I mean,
there's certainly some adrenaline going on, right?
Yeah. And it's adrenaline that helps you through it. Like by the, after the race, maybe like a couple hours later, you go, oh, then it fucking kicks in and mm-hmm. you go, I've been through something.
Yeah.
But
I'm an athlete. Hashtag athlete.
Yeah, yeah, I'm an athlete. I need a physical therapist with me. 24/7.
A massage.
Yeah, I need a massage. Not the Robert Kraft kind. But
only in Birmingham.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a bonus. That's a bonus reference.
Yeah. It's just. Yeah, with everything that's going on, you can't tell, but you can't. There's other teams where they were doing like a different philosophy, which was basically like, okay, we have, six drivers and we're doing a 6-hour race. You're going to go in for 1 hour, two. And to me, after like 20, 25 minutes, if I got up to 30, I it wasn't my muscles or my body. It was my brain. I started losing it.
And you do longer, certainly, obviously, you do longer stints. The only other type of endurance racing, quote unquote, endurance racing that you do, besides what you did there, is on iRacing. Mm-hmm. So what is the difference? What takes your mind out of it quicker in the cart? I have an assumption, but I want to get your input on it.
Well, it's interesting, but it's... When I was racing, it was, you're trying to pay attention to all these different things going on around you. You don't have mirrors. You're going up hills. You're going down hills. You don't know if someone's coming up behind you, wants to bump draft you or not, or if they want to get past you, because there was different classes.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, there are different classes on, depending on skill, age, and weight as well. And I was in the heavier class. So naturally, the cart's going to be slower because it's a heavier person in it. But, it's hard to tell which cart is in which class unless you know the number.
Yeah.
So it made it like, is this even worth fighting this person? Or, you kept on thinking that. And then you're going, okay, I'll just get out of their way a little, just let them by. Or wave them by, but you're worried about all those different things. It's like, it was like the experience I first had my first endurance race on iRacing.
Yeah.
It was kind of like overwhelming to a point.
You're not comfortable with it. It's not habit yet.
No.
It feels so much more important than it really is ultimately.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And then like towards the end of the race, the mental part started not bother me as much.
Yeah.
I just, you feel a little, you get more of a comfort level. And then after you get that comfort level somewhat, that you go, okay, you can relax a little bit. You're not like on edge with your shoulders all hunched up and, worried about like, okay, I need to look out for this person. This person's been a real fucking asshole. Almost hit me off the corner, shit like that. And someone does you wrong on the track, you go, oh, that fucker in 21. That motherfucker.
You don't have to send him a DM. You can go fucking kick his ass.
Oh, yeah. You can go, you can go full Dale Earnhardt on him. I didn't mean to crash him. I just meant to ruffle his feathers.
Yeah.
It's basically the next step in the, Bradley would love this,
immersion
between sim racing and, professional racing, I guess.
I get where you said, your mind is kind of overwhelmed mentally, and I'm sure the physical aspect, that's what I was thinking as well, is that it's certainly way more physical than an iRace. So you're going to last, like when we went to Pittsburgh, we've done the races at Pit Race with Eric and Dan and PKC. One thing I say, you put a helmet, you think, okay, I'm going to feel really comfortable. I'm going to go fast in the outdoors. There's going to be a nice breeze. But you've got a helmet on. You've got the visor closed because you never know when a rock or something could get in there. You know, it's open cockpit. So the visor's got to be shut pretty much.
And
you got the suit on and everything. So you are burning up. The wind is not doing anything. You're hot. The breeze, you don't feel it. You got gloves on, like you got the whole thing on. There's no part of your skin that's going to catch any nice air. Maybe if it's 30.
Maybe the back of your neck.
Yeah, maybe if it's 30 degrees in Hampton in March, maybe you feel it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's hot no matter what. Another aspect is, and I don't think we got into this when we talked about kind of wrapping up your Atlanta experience, is you don't have the communication that you would have in an iRace or even probably something Champ Car or whatever. When I crewed on Zach and those guys, Champ Car team at Mid-Ohio, doing my little piddly stuff with the fire bottle, those guys had at least a radio communication with the driver and one person. So you can still hear, you can find out what's going on. But in karting, I mean, are you even allowed to put in an earpiece or something in this series? Did people do that?
You can.
I would invest in that shit. I'll tell you that right now. That would be worth it.
Well, you didn't. Well, think of it like this. Some of those people, there was at least a team or two that they were so invested in it that they had their own helmets, which that's a huge expense in itself.
Yeah. Some of the helmets have like the headset built in.
Right. So think about it. They have a $700 helmet, but then you have the set up for the radio stuff, and then you strap the radio stuff to your suit, and then it's just
insane. How about this? I just put some AirPods in my ears and put my phone in my suit and just be on a Discord with you guys. Is there an end around here?
What we ended up doing, what my team did, is there was a Tupperware container. There was like a big container lid or something, and we found it, and it was yellow.
The dumpster?
No, it was just laying aside by, where you can get like a
Tupperware,
a rental helmet and stuff. Oh. So where our camp or where our pit ground was right by this top of this hill, and at the top of the hill there, we would put up the board when you got one lap left on your stint.
And it was a piece of Tupperware.
It was plastic, whatever.
Yeah. It didn't say anything.
It's a yellow thing. And it just, we all predetermined, okay, that means you got one more lap. Because after you go up this hill, I'm trying to make this up a hill, you make a left, you go down a steep hill and a sharp right. And then you go up a hill again. There's pit entry there.
Okay.
So we gave ourselves an extra lap just in case, because originally it was pit right away when you see that. But some people missed it when they're coming up the hill because they're fighting with others or they're just zooming out or the sun's in the way. So that's kind of how we did it. Other people did it way differently. They have fucking radios.
AKA better.
Well, yeah,
I'm on Team AirPod, man. I'm on Team AirPod. I mean, obviously you can't answer a fucking phone call, but maybe you could be in a Discord together and just be in the Discord live and push to talk on another phone. You know, what do you think of that?
What if
I think that would work rather than buying like a $500 radio and helmet.
Oh yeah, I wouldn't do that either. I wouldn't do that.
But I feel like I would feel more comfortable having the potential to hear some information. Even if I can't talk back, which probably won't be able to, just to be able to hear something.
Okay, all right. Where are you going to put your phone on you?
I'll put it under my nutsack if I got to, Pat. I mean, Jesus, there's going to be somewhere to put it.
If you put it under your nutsack, your phone's going to be covered in your ball sweat.
Well, that's the cost of doing business.
I'm just saying.
I'm sure you could put it somewhere secure. Like, you're not going to just set it next to you, but I'm sure there's some way to figure it. If they will, you do it on the down low, or if they'll allow you to do it.
I think
you could buy those armbands that people that run you know,
I think some people do actually do something like that, or they find like a holster thing.
Yeah.
I'm jerry-rig something.
I'm sure there's a way to figure. I think that's the solution right there.
Or the other thing that would freak me out is if you got AirPods in, okay, you have a helmet on and then you have a little neck protector thing. But what if the AirPods come out of your ears in your helmet?
Well, then you're going to have to go buy new AirPods.
Well, I'm not just saying for losing the AirPods, but I'm just saying, but then out. You can't fucking hear. Yeah.
So
you're back to where you are.
Okay. I'm with you there. If
you got to think of all the different
things. What if the AirPod battery dies? Then how do you know when to come in? Then you're okay, Patrick. This is why you're going to be the team captain, Pat.
Fuck.
Maybe the old Formula One style pit sign is the way to
go.
Pit board.
I'll go get a dry erase board and we can.
Okay.
Put a number and all that.
All right. Well, let's go to square one. Dry erase board. It is.
So and then kind of I know we were talking about the Hampton, Virginia karting thing. What you and Bradley brought up was the Charlotte. I think there's an 8-hour race in July.
Yeah, and that's going to be hot in Charlotte now. It is.
But it's in the infield there. Yeah. There's no. You're not going to have even grass. It's going to be all concrete.
Yeah.
And it's all concrete. It's no shade, and it's 8 hours, so it's going to be a bit more. But I think that's something to shoot for.
So in your opinion, you're absolutely serious about this, and
yeah.
In the episode piece that we did about your Atlanta bit to now, I mean, you are the leader of this, I would have to say.
Whatever.
You made your way to Pittsburgh with us for that special back in July. I mean, you're all in, and I like it. I really do. So in your mind, you know, do this one in Virginia as a starter and then focus like seriously, like get into that one in Virginia, but really focus maybe competitively in whatever class we find ourselves in Charlotte.
Oh, we're going to be heavyweight. We're going to be heavyweight.
Yeah. I've lost 10 pounds, but I'm still 220.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I thought heavyweight would be more than like 220. No, it's more than I think 200 or 210.
Okay. So
it's a lot of these people that are doing it, they're like actual size of real racers, you know. Super skinny, like 160 pounds, you know. Really athletic. You got a fat fuck like me that, you know, eating cheese pizza all the time and fucking drinking Mountain Dew.
Yeah. We're going to carb load the night before the race. We're going to carb load.
You just don't want to eat too much the morning of.
Yeah.
You have a little something, but not much.
Well, I really want to do this. I know we have not entered a team yet. And I know time is short for this one in March in Virginia, but I really want to do this .
I think you would enjoy it. I think Bradley would enjoy it. And then when it would be a good time for Rob to come down, I think he would enjoy the hell out of it. I think it'd be great to get other people in our group, if you will.
Yeah.
Whether it be Jason, Eric, or anybody else that, you know, wants to get involved in something like this, I think it'd be something fucking awesome. It's just a great experience, I think. Doing it with people you know.
Yeah. People that listen to the show. I mean, we could all get together and enter a couple into the Apex entries.
Yeah. Or you can just enter your own and we can just all meet up at a race.
Yeah.
You know? Go, okay, let's plan on going to Florida in the middle of the summer.
Yeah, yeah.
Fuck it.
And then celebrations after the race and get, you know. It's certainly the most affordable means of trying out the physical experience than anything.
Yeah.
You know, Champ Cart, you know, Lemons, maybe you get more in the wheelhouse, but I mean, $1,600 for a long race to kind of have that experience. I think that's fair because it includes everything.
I mean, you don't even have to have any safety gear.
Yeah. That's all included if you don't have it in the price.
Yeah. The only thing I don't think they have is gloves.
Yeah,
but
we're going to have plenty
of gloves. You bring your own gloves. That's easy. it's worth it.
So I wanted to talk about this because it was just you and I, Pat, and this is your baby. Yeah. And even though it's a legitimate project that we've endeavored on, it's been slow going because you try to sneak these in there with the race travel for the big races, and you just got to kind of get that funding level right.
Right. That's a big
barrier. The fun and but we do have some. We may have something on the horizons that might fund us in VIR or Charlotte. So, but this one, I want to say, if you're a listener in the Eastern United States region, and you want to, I think we have like two seats that we want to fill to maybe make this perfect. Reached out a couple of years ago. You may know that we went to Asheville and did a show at the Sim Center over in Asheville, North Carolina. That's pretty, you know, a few hours more from where we are, which is close to Virginia Beach. But we've got at least one of the guys from that group interested in this, and we kind of tried to recruit from people that we know in the region. But if you're, I know I've gotten messages from listeners in Virginia, South Carolina, that were interested in us getting together at GoPro, which is now Trackhouse Motorplex in Charlotte. So if you guys are still out there and are interested in this, maybe we just did a 20-minute segment just to try to recruit you. But no, I think it's interesting. I think it is an interesting topic because the sim racing side, as we said in the first part of this episode, if going to the race as a spectator for these big races feeds into the enthusiasm for the sim feeds into the enthusiasm for being a spectator and buying tickets and going to the real big events, I think in a unique but slightly different way, you almost want to evolve from the sim, you know, not give up the sim, not say the sim is worthless to you, clearly not. But you want to evolve in some way and drive, and money is the problem, and endurance karting is the most affordable way to evolve and kind of get there.
So this, you're on the sim racing, and then you start growing, and it's a tree. There's another branch that starts coming off.
Yeah.
That's endurance karting, like something like this.
And before you know it, you're selling blood plasma, semen, you're pawning off all of your copper, and it's just, you don't know what's going on.
Yeah, and then you're a whore down on, you know, 6th Street in Austin, Texas.
It's like,
you know,
how did I get here? I fucking love motorsport. That's how I got here.
It's my crack, baby.
Chasing the Dragon. This episode's going to be titled Chasing the Dragon.
Next episode, going to rehab.
Oh, man. Well, this was a fun one, Pat. I know it's always low-key when we don't have the full crew. I feel this was a great one. I'd enjoyed chatting with you and talking about this. And, we may have a road show in Hampton, Virginia in a month. I don't know. It's not final, but, we're very optimistic. So, Patty Stein up in Chicago, Tyler here in the main ITA studios. Next week, I'm hoping we'll have the full crew back and we'll get back into the swing of things. In the studio, the next major road show will be the Indianapolis 500. That is going to be a massive show, and we have already been planning that episode. It's probably going to be the biggest one we've ever done, as far as I can tell. The Indy 500 show coming up. We're going to have more people than microphones, and I've already started to do what I need to do to have more microphones, and we still won't have enough. So it is going to be a bonanza.
Utter pandemonium.
Yeah, it's going to be solid. So if you are considering, you still have time to plan your trek pilgrimage to the Indy 500 and be a part of it. Be in our posse, as they say.
For fuck's sake.
The day before the 500 at the brewery, as per tradition. If you hear your family,
if
you listen, even if you never emailed me, and people email me, Patrick, I like it. Please email me all the time. All you got to do is if you hear your family, that's all I got to say.
Your family. Yeah.
You come in, we're going to give you a beer, we're going to give you a piece of pizza, and you're part of it, because that's what this is. Anyhow, what say we hit the sim, Pat? I don't know what we're going to do.
I agree.
Hit the VRS. Hit the NASCAR is going to be at Daytona. That's probably what we're going to talk about next week. Yeah, let's do it. Let's hit the sim, everybody.
Yeah.
We'll see you next week on ITA.
You've been listening to Into the Apex
from Mad Sim Racing Media.
Check out the show's upcoming road trips and join the community at intotheapex.com.